Hi there, Good Word fam. It's Tisha Lewis, and this is The Good Word, a faith-based podcast. And friend of the show, Jabana Smith, is here and back on September, which you have told me is Recovery Awareness Month. Do I have that correct?
National Recovery Month. Same difference.
National Recovery Month. Wonderful. And Jabana, you were here with your mother, Miss Regina. Hi, Miss Regina.
Hello, how are you?
Wonderful. Thank you both so much for joining us. As you know, our goal is to uplift and encourage and inspire and give people hope, especially now more than ever during this coronavirus pandemic. So, Jabana, very briefly, if you can tell me your story for folks who maybe are hearing you and meeting you via our podcast for the very first time.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jabana Smith, and I am the author of the book, Get Yourself Together First. I wrote a book about my view of being the daughter of a recovering addict and how the forgiveness came when I saw my mother clean. And so she's here today to talk about her recovery and how God has blessed her and brought her through that process. And so I'm excited.
I'm excited too, Ms. Regina. Thank you so much for being here. I know this is probably all a lot for you, but it is such a very, very important topic. And now is such a timely time to discuss it because a lot of people are battling. If you're not battling personally, you might know someone who is. And I've been reading some articles that have said that addiction across the board is up amid this pandemic. And so any type of hope that we can give families and friends and people who know or have loved ones who are in this fight, I am all in and all for it. So Ms. Regina, what's it like first and foremost to be on the show with your daughter?
Fantastic. Awesome. It was the furthest thing from my mind. And I watch you so often.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just never imagined being here.
Well, thank you for being here. The honor is all mine. Tell us a little bit about your story and I guess most importantly, your road to recovery.
Okay. I am a minister's daughter. So, you know, they say the preacher's kids are the worst ones. I started from there and I wanted to venture out and find out what all of my friends were doing to have fun. I started with a beer. I went to straight alcohol. I went from there to marijuana. I went from marijuana to smoking what they call Love Boat, which is formaldehyde. I went from Love Boat into selling cocaine. And then I became my best customer. 24 years of drug addiction. And only by the grace of God do I sit here today, 20 years later, clean and sober.
Amen.
Let me first make this distinction. An addict, a drug addict, is a bum, but an addiction can be of many different kinds. I had an addiction of drugs that constitutes me being sick. Drug addiction is an illness. And I sometimes get disheartened that we don't treat it as such. Mm-hmm. If I were a billionaire and my daughter became a drug addict or had an addiction, I would do whatever I could to help her. Mm-hmm. Just as if she had cancer. Because that's an illness. I would hire the best doctors in the world to take care of her, to get my daughter straight. But we look down on drug addicts. We look down on addictions that shouldn't be looked down on. Mm-hmm. And it took three lockups 3 house raids for me to understand that the people at 1901 D Street was not calling me mom because I was their mother. It was because I was the oldest one in the group. So I had to venture from that. And I laid, and I always found these big fancy prayers to pray. There is no fancy prayer to pray when you are using drugs. It's a simple word, help. You throw your arms up and just say help. And I believe that God is a good God and he's truly our Father. We pray our Father. I believe that if you cry long enough, he will come and see about you because he did for me. It's only by his angels of grace and mercy that I sit here today. And I'm an extremist. I went from extreme using drugs for 24 years to becoming a drug counselor because I understood what the addiction was like. Yes, I had to go to school to get my paper, but it wasn't that I needed that paper on the wall, but I needed it in DC in order to work. And I made up my mind. I don't know when I crossed over. I don't even know how I crossed over, but I know that I stood still and I cried long enough until I could feel grace and mercy wiping my tears.
Amen. Oh,
that's a powerful testimony. And, you know, it is amazing that you are sitting here and able to share it. What would be, you know, your advice for someone who is struggling with addiction or even for their loved ones, their family, their friends?
I would suggest for the family members that have never used drugs, don't have an idea what it's like, call 311 and find an Al-Anon meeting. Al-Anon meetings are where non-addicts go and they vent. The parents, the loved ones, the neighbors, even the employers, they go and they vent. They tell how the people are acting around them. And you might learn from that person that you don't have to put them out. Don't put them out of your house. When I steal something as big as a microwave, that's a cry for help. You know, that's not the time to put me out. It's the time to seek some help for me. So that's what I would suggest to those that don't use drugs. And for those that do, pray for a desire. You have to develop a desire. Without it, you'll never get clean. And to be abstinent only means that I'm no longer using the drug. But to become sober is a state of mind. Because you can be abstinent and still have stinking thinking.
Right.
So you have to withdraw and just surround yourself with people that are not doing what you were doing. And then don't go back to try to show them how good you're doing. You know, I know they're not coming to church, so they're not going to find me. They're not standing in line in the mall paying for nothing. They're not going to find me. And they're not going on a job, so they're not going to find me. So I'm in a safe haven.
You know, I always, I believe that there is power in prayer. And I think prayer is something that's so very, very important. And it sounds cliche, but it's a cliche that happens to be very, very true. And you said something that struck a chord with me. You said it doesn't have to be a fancy prayer. It doesn't have to be a long prayer.
No.
But you just need to ask for help.
Help is the way that you surrender. It says, I came to believe that a power greater than me. Not only did I come to believe, I'm in a state now, and I am so proud that God has favored me that I can say, I know. I had crossed over from believing and into knowing. where my help come from. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean that I don't think about drugs. Every day when I travel these streets, I see somebody, I see a policeman, I see an area that reminds me of where I was. So I keep my story in front of me because I don't want to live like that anymore.
Jovana, what's it like hearing your mom share all of this and just knowing, what was it like when she was finally clean?
Amazing. It was like getting to know someone new. But it was so long ago. Mom, you've been clean, what, 24?
21 years.
21 years. It's been so long. It's like a whole lifetime that she's been clean now. And so I'll give you an example. We just celebrated her birthday on the 24th. And we did a segment in her birthday where everybody that was there, grandkids, nieces, nephews, cousins, aunts, everybody got to say something, how they felt about her. And what was most moving to me, out of about 20 people saying something, nobody mentioned who she was for those 24 years. Everybody talked about who she is today. And that is when we know the blood of Christ have washed us clean, that's what it looks like. People don't even care about or remember what it was. They look at who you are. Mm-hmm. And that is who my mother is today. That is how everybody sees her today. The only thing we reach back to remember is that we can talk to her about everything. We don't have to like feel, oh, she's too holy, so we got to sneak or we can't hide. That's the only thing that is valid for now. But who she was doesn't even matter. Like it's just like not the talked about thing. It's not even the joked about thing or the family thing no more. It's like who she is. Let's go to mama's house. She gonna cook, she gonna get our nails done, and we gonna wind up with her all day. Let's go eat. You know, that it's she's the matriarch of the family now. And everybody views her that way. Everybody. She got kids and grandkids that she never had. But that's who she is today.
You know, I think you brought up a really good point that people talked about who she is today, not who she was. And, you know, like I said, I always want to offer some encouragement and some hope for people who are listening. And, you know, I believe that if your mother can do it, then anyone who is listening to this and maybe having this struggle or know someone who is having this struggle, because what do they say? 6 degrees of separation. So if your mother can do it through the grace of God, and if God can do it for your mother, he can do it for the next person.
He will. He will. That's for sure. He will do
it for the next person. And so, you know, it's National Recovery Month, correct?
Yes.
What does that mean?
That means that it is celebrated throughout the world. Not just the United States, throughout the world. We are not the only city or the only country that had NA and AA meetings, which is Alcohol Anonymous and Narcotic Anonymous. There are meetings for every addiction that you can think of. Mm-hmm. There are sexual addiction meetings. There are gambling addiction meetings. Whatever your addiction is, the surrender word is help. And don't look back. Forgive yourself first. First, forgive yourself. And then start your new life. That's what I did. It works for me. And I know if he did it for me, I know he'll do it for anyone out there listening.
And Tisha, I wanna say this. I encountered something at work about a month ago, I think it was, and I got so frustrated. One of my coworkers their girlfriend has struggles with alcohol, and they are the girl was on life support or something like that. And somebody made a comment and said, you know, I just wish she would go ahead and go so he can go ahead with his life. And I became so angry because I said, what if somebody had given up on my mother and said they wish she would j- just pass away. I mean, she's been in and out of the hospital. She's had her bouts with, I mean, just something as simple as car accidents and things like that. So I'm just saying, what if my grandmother would have got off her knees praying? I mean, what if, you know, we stopped treating her like mom, you know, whatever. What if we stopped communicating with her? You know, we can't give up on people because we have all done something that somebody could have gave up on us. So we can't isolate addiction. And I think that's important for people to know.
Why do you feel like there's this stigma surrounding addiction, specifically drug addiction?
Let me say this. It is harder. And I say this not just my testimony, but because I had facilitated so many groups in the last 15, 20 years, it is harder for a female to get rid of the stigma because she is called so many different names out of her name because of the choices, the bad choices, the wrong choices that she has made or that she makes. But they look at a male, and when he puts on his suit and tie, they call him Mr. And they don't want to acknowledge her as Miss, Mrs., the supervisor, or anyone else. It follows you. But that's why I said the first thing you have to do is forgive yourself. And then if they choose to live in their past, so be it. They can live in my past because I'm going forward. I don't live there anymore. Mm-hmm. So this is the mindset that they have to develop. I asked God the first time that I tried to stop because I went in 5 rehabilitation centers and my parents paid good. And I came out and stopped at the drug man's house before I came home. Wow. However, when I realized that my kids were having kids, my children were having children, and my parents, how old they were getting, I had to make some kind of decision. I'm the baby and the only girl in my family. And I needed to make a change. I could stop, but I couldn't stay stopped.
Ms. Regina, what was your day of reckoning?
My day of reckoning was the last time that the police came to my door on Randolph Place, and they put my hands in handcuffs and they led me out to the police car. My daughter was living 4 doors away from me, and her children came out because, you know, all the neighbors came out to see the raid that was going on. And my granddaughter did not understand what was going on. And she hollered at the police and told them to take those bracelets off of her grandmother. And I carried that with me for 18 months. And when I came home, I promised God if he would let me, just let me try to make it up to that one grandchild, that he would never have to worry about me anymore. And I've been clean since that day.
That's amazing. You know, they say the first step is obviously acknowledgement that there is a problem. So many people are living in denial.
You know why we live in denial? We live in denial because we have so many enablers. They help us. If I go to tell my girlfriend about her son that is selling drugs, she will get upset with me, tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. And then it puts my mind in a dilemma about her and her family. Because I'm telling her this because he sold me drugs and I know what I'm talking about. But the parents, the grandparents, the caregivers, they're all in denial. Mm-hmm. I thought I had $50 laying on my dresser, but when I came back, it was only $20. You know nobody was there but you and your child.
Right.
You know, so don't make me think I'm crazy. I had $50 here. And everybody is not going to wish you well once you get clean. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to be able to see all the dirt that's been swept up under the rug the whole time you were using drugs. I did 24 years. Makes a whole mountain of dirt.
Well, let's, we always ask everyone, and Javeda, I don't know if we were doing this when you came on the show or on the podcast. We always, and folks, you can subscribe. Please subscribe on iTunes, Audioboom, and Google Play. We have 50, 60 plus episodes at this point. I don't know how many, but we have a lot for your listening pleasure. But we always ask everyone, and again, Javeda, I don't know if we asked you this when you came on the show, because you were one of our very early guests, but I would love for each of you to share a good word.
Listen, I'm laughing because my mother said, what should I expect? I said, just have a good word at the end.
Yes.
What's a good word, Mom?
A desire. Find you a desire. And don't stop until you achieve it. My desire is what got me where I am. If you have a desire, and I do have a desire, to go forward and to lead this life clean and sober. And if I can do it, you can do it. And anyone can do it. Just do it.
Javeda?
Love. It's just one word, love. Like, you, we say unconditional love, but love. My mother has loved me through just as much mess as I've loved her through. And I don't consider that she has done something worse than the things that I have done or the next person has done. You have got to love people. And in the end, love will supersede all. That's my word, love.
Ladies, you guys are awesome. I'm so inspired. I hope that we have inspired people who are listening to this. Javeda, tell us your book one more time, because it goes, it does a deep dive into this story that you very briefly shared.
Yes, my book is called Get Yourself Together First. You can purchase it on my website at www.gavata.org, or you can go on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Walmart or Target websites. It's iBook, Kindle, Nook. It's on all of those. And my mother also does a daily Facebook Live, and her name is Regina Hargrove on Facebook.
Every day. Just trying to encourage someone.
What time is that Facebook Live?
12 noon.
Perfect. The lunch hour. Awesome. Excellent. Well, ladies, thank you so, so very much. I love both of you all. I love what you're doing. I love your story, and I pray to God above that it touches someone, it helps someone, it heals someone. And thank you all so much again. I really appreciate it so, so, so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.